Good morning and welcome again. As we load, there's absolutely, I have no financial relationship here to disclose. However, the data for this analysis was derived from an NIH-funded project on cancer risks in workers exposed to oncogenic virus. And this project, the principal investigator here is Dr. Eric Johnson. The topic I wanted to talk about is very basic. It's empirical comparison of non-model and model-based statistical methods for cancer mortality in occupational cohorts. The idea is that very early when this project started, Dr. Johnson has postulated that while there's been a lot of focus on chemical composition of food as carcinogens, and he postulated that we could look a little bit at biological agents that are present in animals that are used as food, animals like pigs, sheep, and the like. And the biological agents we're looking at specifically were oncogenic viruses. So we said that it's possible, there are a lot of studies that have shown that oncogenic viruses have caused cancer in these animals. And so we thought that people who are exposed to these animals may potentially be also be exposed to these carcinogens and may also have the risk. However, some associations that were observed in some of the between exposure and outcome in some studies could not be confirmed in other studies. So we're a little bit worried, and the discussion was, is it an issue of study design methodology, or is it an issue of statistical methodology, statistical approaches in the analysis? So we understood that a lot of new methods have been developed for statistics, and they have been applied, and a lot of them have difficult underlying assumptions, and most of them, when the theory is developed, they are applied using simulations. So the goal was, well, if we actually pull empirical data, it may be hard to meet those underlying assumptions with this data. And so we thought we could, so the question is what I just mentioned, could the applications of statistical methods with fixed underlying assumptions to a particular study design and or empirical data that do not meet the underlying assumptions be some of the contributing factors to the observed discrepancies that we got? So the goal was to compare measures of comparative effect rates, like risk ratio, rate ratio, hazard ratio, odds ratio, for lung cancer and multiple myeloma mortality separately and adjusted for those common factors that have been adjusted before, to see whether there were factors that, we're going to look at those among workers belonging to the United Food and Commercial Workers Union form that were exposed to poultry and non-poultry separately. So we're looking at those two, the roots of this. And this was the type of model that we thought for this specific analysis. We're going to look at the cohort design. This project has two phases. It has there's a retrospective cohort phase, and there is nested case control study within it. But we thought we should just look at the retrospective cohort. And so the two exposure groups were the poultry and the non-poultry, and the statistical methods we applied were non-model based and model based. We've seen comparison between some model based methods, but we've never seen them imposed across model and non-model based, so we just thought we could impose this comparison. So from non-model based methods, the standard we use in publishing in this area has been a lot of indirect standardization, that is publishing results from SMR, where rates within these populations compared with the United States standard population. And that we thought that we could impose all this into race ratio for these two groups, that is the rate in this group compared to the rate in that group, and the rate in this group and this. And also SMR that could be calculated for one group to find relative SMR between the two groups, or convert SMR to rates in one group and compare it to the rate in the other group. While obviously we could do the same for model-based methods. So this is how the study that I've been explaining was designed. As noted, the retrospective cohort, we focused on a single cohort that had about 30,000 members of that cohort. And those that were exposed to some form of poultry products or working poultry processing plants were about 20,000, and the others were about 10,000. The disturbing thing is that the two groups were not really different in the terms of the exposure, but the study initially was designed to compare them with United States standard population. But when I thought of comparing between the two, so these are not best two groups to compare, but that's what we had, because it would also be shown that a lot of those members in the non-poultry group are from the seafood factory, and they have a lot of exposure to oncogenic virus too. So the effect measure that we're going to get here will not really be very significant. But however, we'll just compare them in terms of magnitude and precision and see what happens. This cohort was followed up from 1972 to 2003 for mortality. And the data management was done in SARS, and was simply just trying to do coding in terms of the lung cancer cases were obtained from ICD 162 revision 9, ICD revision 9, but we had also ICD in different versions that were converted to revision 9, like the 8 and the 10. And multiple myeloma, which I'm not going to talk a lot on here today, was also part of the outcome that we thought that we could look at one that was pretty common and one that was rare. That's why we did two, but there wasn't a lot of differences to talk on. Yeah, especially with multiple myeloma, because the numbers were really small. And of course, the explanatory variable, the exposure variable was whether you were in the poultry group or in the non-poultry group. And that was the explanatory variable, and that was the outcome. And we adjusted for these potential confounders. Some actually came out as effect modifiers, but we're not going to be talking about those details. As I said before, the data management was done using SARS version 1.2, and that was simply coding and updating the data file. It was a really extensive, a lot of work in simply doing the coding and matching that these cases were actual cases. Because the cases were, we had to get vital status from different sources, like National Debt Index, Pension Benefit Fund, Social Security Administration, post office. There are too many sources that have got the information, so I had to match to be sure that this is actually the person, using all potential variables that are suited to individuals. One issue with comparing model and non-model based, non-model based, especially direct and indirect sterilization, is about the reference population where you compare, whether you're using internal standard population or external standard population. So we did both. And with the internal standard population, these two groups were unbalanced. The two groups are to balance, because with internal standard population, we're going to use a combined group as a standard or reference population while we compare each to that group. But the two groups are not balanced. So what we did was, because one group was having 20,000 and the other was 10,000, so we compared that as normal, so using 30,000 as a standard population. Why, in another case, we pull a random sample of equal size to this one, so that we have a standard population that was uniform, was balanced in terms of the two groups we had to compare. But then we also for non-standard methods, we also try to compare the rates based on external standard. Like we use the United States standard population up to 2001, and also use up to 2003 to see if those were going to be a factor, because there are studies that have mentioned that standard populations are issues. Then and with those, we obtained the rate ratio, as I showed in the model that was presented earlier, obtained relative rates. And there was also a possibility of obtaining rates from SMR. We used the crude rates from within a respective stratum, imposed it on the SMR to be able to obtain rates. So we did that too. So there are different versions we applied to do that. For the non-model based method, we needed to compare the intervals, the confidence intervals, so that to be able to compare the precision. So what we did was to use a percentile bootstrap to be able to obtain a confidence interval. So we did resampling replacement over 10,000. We thought it was better to do more than that, but we just did 10,000. And you look at the empirical distribution of the risk ratio. The lower limit was the 2.5 percentile, and the upper limit the 97.5 percentile. And those are the obvious start programs that we use in running those model-based methods. The key underlying assumptions were examined for each method, and they were hardly met in all cases very well, but a lot of them, so few were met. And we also explored alternative methods. For example, the Poisson model, we explored the model with the repeated statement so that we could obtain robust standard errors for the regression coefficient. And for the Cox model, we also explored a model where we have an exposure time interaction. Also use a model where the interval Poisson that has been considered to be comparative to the Cox model to do that. This is how the data look like at in terms of the basic results of mortality. We have 378 lung cancer cases. That's about 1.2%, so that was small. And multiple myeloma was less than one, so we just did not bother about this a lot because there are only 20 overall cases of multiple myeloma. But in the poultry case, there's about 217, and the non-poultry about 661. And these are the comparative effect measures that we obtain. When we use the non-model based method, direct standardization using the full unbalanced cohort, this is how the effect measures came out, the odds ratio, the rate ratio, and the confidence interval. With the sub cohort where we try to balance them, drawing a random sample of equal number from the poultry cohort or the poultry sample as equal number as it is in the non-poultry, so that the groups are balanced, we obtain a measure effect that is very pretty close. Then when we use indirect standardization and obtain SMR. That we obtained SMR from the United States, using the United States standard population up to 2001, and we convert that SMR to rate. I mean, we use that SMR to find relative SMR between the two groups. This is what we obtain. And when we use that to obtain rates and find rate ratio between the two groups, this is what we obtain. And we did the same thing for 2005 as we did for 2001 standard rates. But when we use internal standards, the internal rates, that is the rate obtained from the combined population to standardize the rates of the individual groups, this is what we obtain. This is what we obtain for the relative SMR, and this is what we obtain for the rate ratio. We know that when we do Poisson model, the outcome is actually relative rates, which is the same like SMR when you compare between the two populations, the two exposure groups. So we standardize the SMR of the poultry group with rates from the non-poultry groups, so that we thought that this result should be very comparative to what we get from the Poisson model. So we did that from two. Obviously, we did a logistic regression model and then did the Poisson and did the Cox proportional hazard without any exposure time interaction with exposure time interaction, and also did an interval Poisson where we use a 5-year interval for a time and another one with 10-year interval. And these are the results, and these results are pretty close, except a few variability in the precision or the level of precision there in terms of the confidence intervals. So the focus of this study was not, as I explained earlier, was not so much as to documenting which of these two exposures had excess rates, but to evaluate whether the different methods will arrive at the similar general conclusion. And that is pretty much what we came up with. The first thing was that they were able to come up with conclusions that were close in the same general direction, because even those that came up to 1.0, we didn't have a lot that shows that the excess risk. Most of them showed that the poultry group had a reduced risk compared to the non-poultry group, but a little bit of variability. And even when we use internal standard or external standard, the results were not very different. And that's one thing we noted there. Then another thing we also noted was that while you could still deviate from some of the assumptions and still come up with those general conclusions as we found in this study, because like in the Poisson model, we found out that not all the assumptions were met. I think in the Cox, Poisson, and can't remember all the assumptions here as they didn't study, but some of the assumptions were not well met, but yet we were able to still come up with results that were very close. So the message I was thinking that I thought we'd conclude here is, well, we didn't come up with We didn't come up with conclusions that were very different, but the goal for each study should drive what model to use, not just following anything, because those different methods, they're not really like apples to apples very strictly, but as I said, could impose the comparison. Because the objective, the overall goal of each study you have to do, or should be the motivating factor of what study you have to, what the method you have to apply, and then whether the assumptions are actually met. Like for multiple regression, we know that we will have to is apply to model the likelihood that an individual in one exposed group will likely die from a particular disease compared to another group. Meanwhile, when we're using Poisson, we're trying to model aggregate mortality rates. Cox, we're trying to model individual survival rates. So they're not exactly the same thing that we try to model in every situation. So that should be a motivating factor too, why we think that. And then one thing that has been discovered, has been presented by, has been published by others, is the fact that situations in which normal Cox will not hold, but when we apply the interval Poisson to them with the same, like whether you want to model aggregate, because Poisson and Cox can be used in modeling both aggregate and individual mortality. But we found that there are situations, or has been reported by other studies, that there are situations in which the direct Cox will not hold, but if you do the interval Poisson, you may be able to get results that are meaningful. The conclusion, again, was that it was very hard for us to use real data and meet all the assumptions across all the board. So it was very hard for us to do that. However, we were able to still come up with something with slight violation of those assumptions. We were able to still come up with results that were comparative. This study was a little bit extended to look at nested case control studies, and there were a little bit of variation, especially with the Cox model, although that is not presented here because I thought that could be done in the epidemiology section. But the Cox with that case gave a little bit of a different result compared to the others. And I want to acknowledge those that will work on this project together, as shown there, Dr. Eric Johnson, and thank you for your time.